Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Air Force and imagination, they go together. The Air Force, originally the U.S. Army Air Force, became the Air Force during the Cold War. And today, its mission statement is considerably broader. However, I welcome General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force retired, to help me understand some specialized language used in a piece published by Colonel Maximilian Bremer, published very prominently in Breaking Defense, obliging the American people to consider that the Air Force, as successful as it is, lacks imagination. What does that mean? Blaine, a very good evening to you.
Evening.
The colonel also says that this is a dangerous thing to lack imagination. As I understand it, the great success of the Air Force is the reason it's being cautious. The F-16, the B-52... the mission statement in the Cold War, responding to every Soviet threat. All well done. What is it that you believe the colonel now sees about the Air Force that can be corrected? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I can't tell you how encouraged I am by Colonel Bremer's article, because he's pointing out what airmen who of significance have pointed out throughout the Air Force's history, which is there's a fresh and different way to look at everything. There's an innovative way to look at everything. That's where we get recalcitrants like Billy Mitchell and Carl Spatz and Claire Chennault. And where the colonel in this important piece is going is that we have become far too mechanical and bureaucratic in our processes with regard to procurement and acquisition, and they drive incremental changes that cost us far too much money. And where we need to be is innovative, constantly moving, constantly reaching with smaller amounts of money that keeps our adversaries guessing as to what the true capabilities of this U.S. Air Force are.
The colonel identifies large, expensive platforms by a handful of suppliers being the way it's been done before. What will the new way look like, to your understanding?
So if we're going to truly have reform, we've got to take a look at the size of the behemoth Big Six defense industrial base contractors, because by being so integrated and almost monopolistic, that means there's very little room for the young innovators to break out and create companies of their own that are meaningful. They can't afford the legal departments, the government relations departments, and the K Street lobbyists. They have to fight for themselves. And oftentimes in the big bureaucracy that is Washington, D.C., they get squashed. So antitrust may be a way ahead. Getting rid of what we call vendor lock or monopolies in the things that you make for the government in the supply chain, gone. More competition, more defense contractors, defense-based companies. I'm building one myself, full disclosure, right now. And it's going to be this new wave of different thinkers, pioneers, and innovators that are not so encumbered by this thing called the Federal Acquisition Regulations in its current format that'll drive what the Air Force and Space Force look like in the future.
Right. When I came to that paragraph, Federal Acquisition Regulation, and clicked on it, that's when I started to lose focus here. I guess it's developed that way to drive away amateurs who would poke around. What is it, and what's gone wrong?
That's exactly right. So we call them affectionately the FARs or the FARs. And just reading through page one should be enough to deter you from ever thinking about being an entrepreneur in this space, because It is onerous. It requires legions of attorneys. And this is where a lot of this cost comes from. But you see everyday entrepreneurs who are inventing things in quantum physics, in robotics, in AI, just turning away and saying, I don't want anything to do with government contracting if that's what this is going to be like. And folks like my little brother, who was a retired two-star Air Force, the secretary of the Air Force for contracting, he was working to bring innovation and procurement reform, and we got set back over the last 4 years. But I think that, you know, if you make yourself broke, which we've done, you have to innovate your way out of it. And I think there's a lot of opportunities
here. Where did it go wrong, Blaine? Is there a point in the Cold War? Do we have what the Japanese called victory disease?
We got victory disease so quickly out of the gate. The Berlin airlift was the last of the great hurrahs in innovative swagger that I saw my Air Force take on. And then President Eisenhower so adroitly said farewell to us, but warned us of a military-industrial complex that would swallow us whole. And I look no further than the current F-35 program costing over $1 trillion for some fighters when we need so many other things in an advanced type of battle space that we'll be fighting in. And so we have to change. And so we will.
Is the Air Force boxed in? Is there said to be things it can do and can't do? You mentioned quantum. Can it do quantum computing? They separated out the Space Force. I didn't know why they did that. I didn't understand it. It's maybe a good idea, but the Air Force, is that a place for experiments?
It absolutely is. We have Air Force research labs, and we have a lot of different research centers that we use, and we bring a lot of these innovations in, spin them off into industry, only to spend 10 times more money on getting them back into the force. But the Air Force is on the leading edge of these things, and the Space Force is too. What we have to do is we have to embrace the little guys, and we have to get the Air Force back in control of its budgetary processes. Right now, the Pentagon is on the outside looking in. It's the unholy trinity of the K Street lobbyists, the big industry companies, and the congressional delegations who say, my district, my district, my district.
The Air Force, as it's now understood, what is the mission in what we'd have to say is sometimes the Second Cold War, sometimes not? Does it think of itself the way it did during the Cold War, focused, or is it everything to everybody?
Mission creep has been a big problem of the U.S. Air Force for quite some time, and we haven't been able to train our officers in the warfare that's honed more for the air and the space and the cyber domains. And so while the core element of an airman is always to think about fly, fight, and win, it's really to fight and win America's wars in these domains. And we have to get back to that. And we'll still provide great services to the joint warfighter. But in the new fifth generation warfare domain, we have to understand that the air and space forces are uniquely qualified if they're resourced appropriately. And that includes innovative airmen like Colonel Bremer.
There's a scene in a book that profiles the birth of SpaceX when they were taking all the risks to launch into orbit in order to win a contract. The scene is a woman named Shotwell, who's the president of this early firm, and they're in a sort of a rundown place in Los Angeles. And she goes, I believe, to McDonnell Douglas. It might have been another one of the giants, and walks onto the floor, the factory floor, gorgeous machines in all directions, and one guy working. One guy. And that, in comparison to the rundown secondhand equipment at SpaceX, which was poured over by these young people who were eager to show off, is that a vision of what's gone wrong, that factory floor with one guy?
It absolutely is. And think about what would happen if young startups like that were resourced appropriately to bring something new to the force that we need, instead of having some congressional delegation dictating us something that really is more akin to the Maginot Line of World War One, if you will. And SpaceX's journey is an interesting one. I also look at companies led by folks like Palmer Luckey at Anduril as a new class of young bucks who are throwing convention off to the side and embracing my favorite phrase, which is, you know what we could do, ... And that is the trademark of an airman.
All right, a few seconds. How long have we got to make this transition before it's too late?
We better do it this year or next, and that's going to be about it.
Oh, same time to plant a tree. Okay, Blaine Holt. General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force, retired.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.